It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, you know that normal anger is different than intermittent explosive disorder when you are somebody who is subject to someone who suffers from road rage, or if you're driving with someone who gets that road rage, or if you're someone who goes through that yourself. My guest is Dr. Joseph Schrand. He's an instructor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. Welcome to the show, Dr. Schrand. Let's talk about road rage. It's really getting more and more common as traffic gets worse and construction is so bad. And some people I have seen, and even been in the car with, scream to the point of scaring those other people in the car and everybody else around them. What is this that's going on?
Melanie, first, it's great to be here. And you really talking about something so important. You know, the research is suggesting that at least a third of people who are driving, a third of them, have experienced some road rage within the last 12 months, and 25% of those more than once. So it's out there. It's really happening. And what is this road rage? I mean, why is it that there we are driving along in the security of our car and somebody will cut you off, or somebody will slow down, or somebody will do something that you don't want them to do and you get rageful? You know, this leads to, first, a really important understanding of what is anger. And I think in order to really understand road rage, you have to first back up again and understand what is this anger experience that we have as human beings. And anger is an emotion designed to change the behavior of somebody else. We get angry when we want somebody to do something different, start doing something or stop doing something. Then we get angry. And you, as the listening audience, know exactly what I'm talking about. What are those things that really get you angry that lead to this road rage? It's somebody slowing down. It's somebody cutting you off. It's somebody who's not following what you think is a rule of basic courtesy. And you get heated.
And you do. Okay, so are you then supposed to control this anger? You know, we've always heard that letting your anger out is certainly much healthier. And as I've said to you, I come from a big family of yellers, and everybody yells, and then we all feel better, and then we're all buddies and loving each other again. But this is different, right? You don't want to let this out explosively, because it can actually do more damage than good.
But you see, there is a difference between anger and aggression. And there's nothing wrong with anger. It's what you do with it that can get you in trouble or hurt somebody else. What you do with it can be aggression. And aggression is that enactment of anger. And that does hurt people. So yeah, while you're in your car, you know, you're not going to scream to the point where you're then going to jump out of the car and hurt people. We know that you know, maybe 2-3% of people who really experience road rage develop that degree of aggression. But yeah, you first got to be able to sort of think this through. Aggression and anger is a limbic function. So what's that? The limbic system is this ancient part of our brain that's been around hundreds of millions of years old, and it really is in charge of impulses and emotions. But we have a new part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, the frontal lobe, where we have the ability to think things through, to rationalize, to problem solve, and anticipate the consequence of those decisions. That's the part of the brain that we need to kick in. So, yeah, when you're screaming in your car and you're scaring the person next to you, it's not a good thing. If you're alone in the car and you're screaming, you know, you're increasing your blood pressure, you're maybe increasing your risk of heart attack, but you're not going to jump out of the car and go bop someone, which is really important. Don't
well,
do
and
that.
Because that's happening more and more, and it's scarier because people have guns. And now what could have been, you know, just an innocent, hey, flip someone the bird, can actually become fatal now. And even in other situations, Dr. Schrand, people are, you know, if you don't like the doctor at the hospital, you get so angry, you scream at them. Or you, you know, I mean, people are letting this rage out in so many different ways now. Give us your best advice for dealing with this rage.
Well, the best advice I can give you is encapsulated in this phrase: keep it frontal, don't go limbic.
Keep it frontal, Don't go limbic.
Don't go limbic, right. So when you begin to feel that anger, I want the audience, you take your hand, put the palm of your hand squarely on your forehead, and just give yourself that cue to keep it frontal. Your frontal lobe is right behind your forehead. And how many times have we done something impulsively and smacked our forehead and go, what was I thinking, right? Well, this is it. You're not. You're limbic. Keep it frontal. Don't go limbic.
Wow, that's so interesting. You're exactly right that you do. And sometimes my children might make me so angry that I feel like I want to lose it on them. And so I'm going to try.
Melanie, don't hit them on the forehead.
I'm okay, not going to.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Boy,
your own hand on your forehead, Melanie.
I will do that. Okay. I promise I'm going to do it that way, and I'm going to give myself a little push. Now, speaking of the frontal cortex and the frontal lobe, that is the one, correct, that teenagers don't have that ability to rationalize.
That's exactly right. It is in the process of maturation. And the limbic system is actually relatively more mature than their prefrontal cortex. I mean, what a setup that is for impulsivity. It's a setup for addiction. That's why these kids are at the highest risk of addiction in any other age group. Lifelong addiction. So one way we can do that is to help kids exercise their prefrontal cortex. You know, you talk about sitting around there yelling at each other and then having a nice meal. Get your kids to help you cook the meal. It's actually a great exercise for the prefrontal cortex because you get to plan things through, anticipate the consequence of it, and then you get to sit down as a family and share a meal together, which elicits a whole other slew of chemicals in the brain that encourage relationships and bonding and attachment and trust.
Isn't the brain just the most amazing of all of our organs? So basically, that frontal cortex is the one responsible for kind of keeping our cool. So whether we're dealing with teenagers who can't really control that frontal cortex that well, or ourselves in road rage, first thing we can do is touch that forehead, keep it frontal, and don't go limbic.
What else?
Do you think that talking these things out or getting help, or of course we're this Prozac nation now, trying not to, you know, get anxious all the time, would that help? What helps with this explosive rage that we sometimes feel over anything that's going on?
Again, I think we need to look at, again, who we are as human beings. And human beings, like any animal, want three things. We want the ability to get food, shelter, and the ability to reproduce. And for humans, that can be expanded to resources, where we want stuff, relationships, where we want to be involved with people, and residence, which is where we live. Now, imagine you're in your car. And you're driving down the road. This now becomes your small residence. You're driving down, and you've got your resource, which is the lane in front of you, and somebody cuts you off. They've taken your resource. They've affected a relationship. They've created a relationship between you and them, one where you begin to think that they are trying to take something from you. And you get heated because you are now at a biological survival disadvantage. But now you put your hand on your prefrontal cortex. You put your hand on your forehead and you think, what if this person is trying to get their pregnant wife to the hospital? What if there's some reason that the best this person can do is cut me off in traffic?
So you're trying to sort of rationalize, you know, because sometimes when someone's in slow in front of me and I go around them and I'm tempted to give them an evil eye, I look and they're maybe a very old person. And then I feel bad that I even, you know, pulled up. So we touch our frontal cortex. We give ourselves that clue. Do deep breaths. We only have about 30 seconds, Dr. Schrand.
Melanie, that's exactly it. And I'm going to just say it one more time so people really emblazon it in their memory. Keep it frontal. Don't go limbic. And you're going to do fine. Teach that to your friends so they can do it as well.
And touch your frontal cortex. Give yourself that cue and teach that to people that you know that lose it on the road, in a car, or for the most ridiculous reasons. And remember, there's so much more important things in life than somebody cutting you off or going slow in front of you. Let's pick our battles, really. You're listening to Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole, who's not angry right now. And of course, I'd love you all to stay well.